Coming up this week on The Course of Life, the NFL free agency period is basically giving us our only heartbeat of sports right now as the COVID sports blackout enters week two. We'll get into why Tom Brady chose. What city did he choose? Wow, I'm
Tampa Bay.
Still shocked about that. Plus, we're getting into everything that would have happened, could have happened, should have happened in golf this past week, and a double guest feature on this week's episode. First up, a great guest from the world of golf and music, Sam Harrop from Across the Pond, shares some really cool stories, and we get to play some of his music as well. He's got some really funny tunes. Plus, in our Always End with Food segment, AZ Food Guy is here to give you tips on taking better pictures of your food so you're not sending out just insulting ugly pictures of your food to the world, and how to get those followers and those likes up. That's what we all want in these times of quarantine. So some fun chats coming up indeed on this episode. But first, it's time to get real. Your phone is pretty much the most valuable thing on you at all times. And when you hit the golf course, where it sits is a big deal, usually in some open compartment where it's liable to get scratched, spilt on, or just broken altogether. The issue is no mas. Now that Desert Fox Golf came along with the phone caddy. It's the go-to phone holder for golf carts designed to keep your phone safe and at your fingertips. With sliding wings and a faceplate, it adjusts to fit pretty much any smartphone model. It velcros right on in seconds. Keep your yardage and scoring apps open where you need them to be seen. Play music with ease. Watch the game. Answer texts, calls, all that easily while you hit the course. Phone caddy is the most functional way to keep your phone safe and ready on the course at all times. So again, go to desertfoxgolf.com and get yours today. They have different colors, customized options, and phone caddies that benefit great charitable causes as well. Again, that is desertfoxgolf.com.
Hello, interwebs, and welcome to another edition of Course of Life, presented by our friends at Desert Fox Golf and Groovit Golf. This is the podcast where we talk about everything happening in the world of golf, plus other things that interest us from the world of sports and pop culture. I'm Michael, he's Alex, and Alex, how you doing on week two?
Good. This first golf segment's going to get a little bit shorter as the weeks go on here. Basically, this would have been the Valspar Championship. Golf Channel was showing the 2018 tournament where Tiger almost won, if you remember that, a couple of years back. This would have been the match play week. I would have told you that, you know, I just met Tiger Woods today, Mike, for the second time. He's a great guy.
He
remembered me from last year. We shared a really long conversation. He's actually going to be on next week's episode. He's really just a best friend of mine now. So great time at the match play, in my mind, at least.
I'm glad you're able to keep yourself entertained somehow during these dark sports times.
The official account tweeted out some pictures of the course. I'm just like, don't do that right now.
It's the same thing. You know, I live in a tourist town, and I follow a lot of the Instagram accounts for our tourism bureaus, and they're just tweeting out beautiful pictures of the city of Savannah, and it's like, what? It's don't right now.
Sensitive time for everyone looking to get outside. Hopefully you enjoy your backyard as much as I do, because I've been getting in a lot of short chip shots recently. But yeah, no golf this past week. And obviously the one thing we did see from the world's best players, which we talked about in weeks past as to like what golf content we are going to get, we've been getting some from Ricky Fowler and Justin Thomas. They've definitely been having fun on social media. And Michael, I don't know if you saw, but they had a lefty match, which they posted a million Instagram stories for. They both broke 100. I'll first ask you what you think you would actually shoot if you got forced to play 18 holes lefty, and then I'll let you know how they did individually.
I think I'd putt just fine, because I think that would be okay. I think everything else would just be a train wreck. I think I'd shoot over 200.
Yeah, I think so too. I think breaking 200 would be pretty tough. Seeing as like there could be a few times on the first few holes where you just whiff, and those all count too. So all those count as well.
I don't get a first tee mulligan?
No, I don't think so. That would probably be a ground ball, I think, for me, my first tee shot lefty. That's what I would anticipate. But nonetheless, Ricky and Justin Thomas are pretty good lefty. They both broke 100. They have very natural swings. Ricky won with a 94, I think, and Justin Thomas shot a 98 or 99, something like that. They both broke 100.
You know, it's It's not surprising to me, though, that they can play left-handed, because I'm sure they're practicing left-handed shots when they have that really weird lie and they need to be able yes, to hit it lefty
with the tree right to
get
to
it on. We see it plenty of times. I'm sure they practice it every once in a while.
Yeah, and then Brooks Koepka went over the top and he showed a video of him at his practice facility hitting an 8-iron 194 yards, and he wants in on the challenge next time. So hopefully we get all three of them out on the course. Social distancing, of course, but let's see them all play.
I want to see that, but then I want to see Phil playing righty the whole
yes,
time.
Yes, I've heard kind of, it's like an old wives' tale that Phil might be like a single-digit handicap as a righty. I haven't seen that. Phil righty versus these guys lefty. Let's get that going here in the next couple months. We certainly have the time for it.
I'm all for it. We got plenty of time. Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to mention too is shout out to a couple of our former guests and players right now on quarantine. They're making the yes. most of it by giving out video lessons to the public, anyone who wants one. So shout out to Conrad Schindler. He threw this tweet out a couple days ago, our friend of the show, saying, hey, he's got time. He's out of work. $20. I'll give you a 5-minute video lesson, break your swing down for you, tell you what you need to do. And he said he has been absolutely flooded with messages. So I think Conrad Schindler's got his new second career. Our friend Aaron Olson is doing some video lessons shortly as well. And I don't know, Mike, is this the new age of teaching the game of golf? It could be.
Yeah, you know, video lessons, especially right now, this certainly is the next big thing in golf, is to have, let's just do a FaceTime conversation and you can dissect my swing. I like
it. Yeah, keep it nice and quick. And then everyone's got these, you got a garage, you got a back patio, you got some spot in your room, hopefully high enough ceilings where you can at least reproduce the swing. And that's the nice part about the swing of golf, is it's a very simple game. It's played on one plane, you know, so you can watch it very closely within a moment in one camera frame. And hey, if these guys have time to give out cheap lessons to play people on Twitter who need the help, by all means, go for it. So shout out to Conrad Schindler and the teachers that we've had on the program, definitely getting mobile and creative with their teaching right now. It's the time for creativity. So we appreciate that.
Love it. Yeah. Love it. Let's bring up one more thing. We do have a case of coronavirus in the PGA.
Yeah, first one. Guy who's playing on the Sunshine Tour, PGA Tour, Latino America, and some other mini tours, Victor Lang. I reached out to him. We're trying to get him on an episode pretty soon to talk about everything. But he seems to be in pretty good spirits as he's quarantining right now, not showing a ton of the common symptoms that we've seen. So, yeah, that was the first thing that came from the world of golf in terms of a positive test. Fortunately, that number is low. We want to keep that as low as possible, and we'll keep everyone updated on Victor's status.
Indeed. Let's bring in some new segments.
Let's go to the life part instead of the course part. Yeah. That's what I keep telling people about this rebrand. Is it still the course of life? Yes, it's still the course of life. We're just going to do a little more life and a little less course. That's all.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. So we're gonna talk about TV shows people need to watch.
Yeah, what are you in on?
Things that either we're watching or we think other people should watch. So I'm gonna bring up one that I get everybody to watch, and that is Derry Girls.
Never heard of it, so tell me about it.
It's on Netflix. It is a hilarious show.
Good. We need fun about, right now.
Yeah, it is a coming of age comedy, 30-minute comedy from the UK, and it is about some girls coming of age in a private Catholic school in Londonderry up in during the Troubles in the early 90s, specifically.
Interesting.
Up there. So it's hilarious. It is. I can't really give away too much about it without spoiling some of the big hilarity that happens, other than it is just hilarious. It's about 6 or 7 episodes in each season, really easy to binge. Oh, nice. Season 3 is coming soon. Derry Girls on Netflix.
Because my thing, you know me, I'm horrible with the ADD on shows. I can sit and watch a football game for 3.5 hours, but if you tell me I have to commit to a show that's longer than an hour, I like throw my hands up and fuss like I'm an old man.
You know,
so
30-minute comedy, this is so bingeable too. I've watched it probably 4 or 5 times both seasons, and
so
it
we're
is
two
still
seasons
just
in right
hilarious.
Now. Is that what it is?
We're only two seasons
in. That's the perfect amount if you just want to kind of give yourself the appetizer of the show. You can get all that done in a day or a weekend. So I like that suggestion. Mine is just a reiteration of the weirdness that I've got into from TV. I have to catch up on this past Sunday's episode. But the show, Mike, I finally figured out the network it airs on. I'm not even sure who gets this, but you can find it somewhere. It's NHK is the name of the news network. It's some sort of Asian American-based news network where they kind of focus more on the eastern part of the world. But they have the show called Somewhere Street, where they literally just take a super HD camera and they just walk through like different like places all around the world. And you do like actual like POV interviews with like people who live in these random villages all across different corners of the world. It's a very fascinating way to just literally just deport your mind like elsewhere and just teleport to another part of the planet. It's very, very minimalist, but I'm getting into it a couple weeks in now.
Sounds like a slow TV, if you know what slow TV is.
Yes, that's a good analogy. It's a very slow-moving show, but it's very fascinating if you want to see other cultures. I talked to you last week about the woman who has the floating village, and she quite literally – it's a village of houses that are floating on top of a body of water in Cambodia. It's amazing the way some people live in the other parts of the world, and just that tease alone will tell you what a weird show that is. But that was my one just outside-the-box show. And then the other thing is just the documentaries for me. For all those sports documentaries you may have missed, those 30 for 30s in the last couple of years, those are getting replayed like crazy right now. I DVR'd the Mike Vick documentary. I'm going to rewatch OJ. I'm hearing murmurs that this legendary Chicago Bulls of the 1990s documentary could be coming soon as well, too. So just kind of it's time to rehash all the documentaries you didn't get the chance to watch in the past couple of years as well.
Nice.
That was the plan.
In between new shows to watch, we're also going to talk about some of our quarantine hobbies.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about this. For me right now, it's stress baking.
You said your wife is big on this, but it's gone over to you now, I see.
It's gone over to me. I mean, when I have now all this extra free time, I want to do something with it. And baking is just interesting. So I baked, as I said, on our Saturday turn.
Yeah, shout out to the Weekend Turn, which is our Instagram Live on the weekends
Instagram
that we do.
Instagram Live that we just did, yeah. I made a loaf of rye bread, like right when I started my quarantine, my workplace-enabled quarantine. I'm going to try another one this week. I'm going to make some bagels.
Homemade bagel. That's definitely something homemade you would bagel. Never get your hands behind unless we're in a quarantine.
I've done it before, and I'm going to do it again.
I'm going to be impressed to see what those look like. I'm really looking to see if you can just maintain the perfect shape and that wonderful like glisten that has on a done bagel.
It's the imperfections are what make it great.
That's what it is.
Remember that.
Smart. Good to get ahead of that as well. And then my quarantine hobby, which I have brought back from the dead, I had not touched my Xbox in almost a decade. That's just the reality of the situation.
But does it still work?
Oh, I dusted it off all right. I was playing Tiger Woods. I got back into my PGA Tour season. I've been missing cuts left and right, actually. The game is pretty tough when you play it on the right mode. So I finally got an order, a copy of Madden. It got to my doorstep just in time for the weekend. I created a player. Mike, what kind of player do you think I created? Like for myself, Alex Lazon in the NFL, what position did I make myself?
I feel like you'd be a kicker.
Oh, man, that was a good – I didn't even think of that. That was way too outside the box. I just –
You'd be a punter.
I just made myself a short white possession slot receiver, just like Julian Edelman and all my other Patriots.
There you go. That works.
And Tom Brady's throwing me the ball over and over again. I'm enjoying this because it's Madden 2016. It's not the real world now, so that dream is over. But I'm a short slot receiver right now, but I should be a kicker. You're right.
That
is a good idea. So maybe I'm gonna have to create a second player on that note.
So there you go. Let's move over to pop politics. It's time for another chapter in your Commander-in-Chief book report.
Yes, I slacked off last week, but I'm back on it. It's chapter 11 of Commander-in-Chief. This was the book written by Rick Riley of Sports Illustrated fame, who documented all the craziness of Donald Trump on the golf course. So we've gone chapter by chapter now. And 11 was a good one, Mike, because it was all about Trump versus Obama. Which always just incites anyone. I think actually I just got 5 tweets at me right now just for saying those words. I think people yelling at me on both sides of the aisle right now just for putting those words in the same sentence. But Trump versus Obama on the golf course. A lot to be made about how much Obama has played on the golf course during his presidency. I think it was 259 rounds in his 8 years. Trump is on pace for 759 rounds at the rate he's going.
In 4 years, right? Not in 8 years. If he had 8 years, that's just four
Correct.
Years.
Just to give you some perspective, almost 5 to 10 times as many rounds as President Obama. And almost $80 million has already been spent on quote unquote President Trump's golf trips, just his golf rounds alone for Secret Service detailing, closing off the courses, escorts and whatnot. Very expensive game, really, for us, the taxpayers of America, actually, is who it's expensive for at this point.
I want to know why I'm not getting to play every time he plays.
We should all get a stipend for every exactly. round that Trump pays. He should pay us all 50 cents, and then we could pool it together for our own round of golf. That's like a little like tax return type deal. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah. So, and then obviously it got into the idea of, well, will Trump and Obama ever play golf together in the rest of their lives?
Absolutely not.
Yeah. You don't think so?
No way.
Yeah, I don't think not so happening. Either. They played out the idea of a hypothetical head-to-head match. Obama went from a 17 to a 13 in his time in the White House. Trump still says he's a 2.8 handicap, but we all know that that is a lie, Lies. According to earlier chapters Lies. In the book. He's probably about Lies. A 9 or a 10 right where I sit in the handicap index. I think it'd be pretty even. Trump's going to be cheating during the round, though. So Obama's going to have to beat a cheating Donald Trump. But we'll see if maybe Obama has guys throwing balls from the woods into the fairway as well, too, just to make it even, I think. That's the plan.
You know what I think about sometimes when I think about Trump playing golf?
What?
I think about the movie Goldfinger, the James Bond movie Goldfinger, where Goldfinger is playing golf and he loses his ball in the brush and his caddy drops a ball like in the fairway for him and finds it.
Very conveniently placed errant tee shots Mr. Trump always has.
Yes.
Yeah, he has a knack for finding the best lie in the rough in every single hole as well. Too. Oh, wow. Look, he's got a perfect hole out through the trees right to the green. Isn't that amazing? Wow.
Crazy. That's just crazy.
That was chapter 11 of Commander-in-Chief Trump versus Obama on the golf course.
Let's move over to this week's first guest. Featured guest.
That's right.
Our first featured guest. His day job, he's a pianist and a music publisher, but recently came into fame for some very funny songs he wrote about golfers on tour. Let's take a listen to one of these songs right now.
Best DJ voice, that was a clip from Sam Harrop with When Will Tony Finau Ever Win Again. Mike, that's his hit record right now. I don't want Sam to be a one-hit wonder. He's got a lot more, though, and we get into everything that he's creating in this week's interview. Should be an interesting one.
Yeah, it will be indeed. But first, let's remind you that this week's conversation is brought to you by Groovit Golf, creators of the Groovit Golf Brush. The Groovit Brush is unique to golf accessories because of its patented pump that sprays water or your choice of cleaning solution onto the club face prior to scrubbing, so it's easy to refill on the go around the course or at the
and
range.
Mike, I know what I noticed about the Groovit Brush on the course.
Yes.
Now, social distancing. We don't want everyone putting their hands on the same brush at the driving range. Get your own. Get your own Groovit Brush so you can avoid that at all costs. If you're going to do it right on the golf course right now, it's got to be with Groovit to keep your own brush in your own hands.
Exactly. And it's got detachable magnets, so it's easy to get on and off of your bag when your club needs a cleaning. Plus, the brush comes with a 3-year bristle guarantee. So if you can wear out the brush head cleaning golf clubs in 3 years, send it back and Groovit Golf will get you a free replacement. The Groovit brush ensures maximum backspin distance and accuracy with each shot. So prepare to be amazed with the consistency and control the clean grooves will give you. Using your existing golf clubs with the Groovit, you'll get the spin trajectory and consistency you're looking for. So check out groovitbrush.com and get your Groovit brush today.
There's a lot of running storylines in the game of golf involving some of the world's best players. They've never quite been put to music before, though, until our next guest came along. He's based in Poole, which is in the United Kingdom specifically. You can find him at Sam_golf on Twitter, and he's got a great YouTube page as well with his creations. It's Sam Harrop joining the Course of Life. Sam, thanks for joining us.
No problem at all. Good to be with you.
Definitely. So let's first get into the golf aspect. You tweet and talk a lot about golf, which is how I originally found you. What's your background in terms of just playing the game when you grew up?
I've never been very good at golf. I had group lessons when I was, reasonably young. But then I didn't play for a long time. And then After I graduated from university, I started playing a little bit more with some friends. But the best I've got is a 20 handicap. And nowadays I've got two young kids and I probably play 2 or 3 times a year if I'm lucky.
Couple of young ones definitely deters your time out on the course, but hey, 20 handicap, still better than a lot of people out there. So at least you have the chance to get out a couple of times a year. So the game now, when you do get out there, what's the best and the worst aspect of your golf game? And on the rare occasion you get 18 holes.
Well, the best has always been really scrambling, I guess, or sort of chipping around the greens is something I've always done reasonably well. The worst, recently is putting, to the extent the last time I played, I'm a lefty naturally, but by the time I got to about the 15th hole, I started putting right-handed because it couldn't get any worse.
So, oh man, you just switched sides completely. Yeah. I love it. Just a full abandonment. Yeah. I have those moments on the putting green and Wells too. I'm constantly second guessing myself. So I know where you sit there. And then, so let's get into music specifically as well too. And we'll combine the two in a moment and talk about some of the really cool songs that you'd put out recently. You're, from what I understand, a kind of sheet music publisher. Tell us a little bit about what your kind of music career entails first.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, so I've been playing piano and singing from a pretty young age, from kind of seven or eight. I just sort of took a shine to music very early on in life, I guess. I studied music at university, and then I ended up working, as I do now, in sheet music publishing. So music's always been a kind of important part of my life, I suppose. And I've got a piano at home, which I kind of play as much as I can, when I'm not sort of working or, with the family and stuff. So yeah, it's certainly probably my number one passion, and golf is probably not too far behind that, but.
And the music you put out, are you specifically making requested music from business clients of yours? Is it your original music? What are you working on a day-to-day basis musically?
My day job is it's kind of everything from kind of current pop hits to sort of classical, classical greats. It's pretty much everything, but nothing of my own composition. Very much this is sort of mainstream commercial stuff.
Very cool.
Not quite at that level yet.
Yeah, and I've seen some of your videos on your YouTube page, which we'll get into, where you cover a lot of very contemporary pop songs as well on the piano, and with your very unique spin, which is appreciated. So let's talk about mixing the two together. You'd had a liking for the game of golf. You don't get out as much as you'd like, but you have a life in music. I guess what was the before you even made the songs that you made about specific golfers on tour, what was the first moment where you actually thought to potentially compose something about a golfer or an athlete at all in general on the piano?
I mean, honestly, it kind of it happened very quickly. It's not really anything I'd thought about until literally after the Tony Finau, came runner up at in Phoenix.
I was at that tournament, by the way.
Yeah, so that's really when it first came to my head, and I don't even know why. In all honesty, the song that I set that to, the REO Speedwagon, "Can't Fight This Feeling," was used on an advert over here just before Christmas, and so it was kind of, I guess it, maybe it was in the back of my head.
Top
that was kind of going around, and yeah, the chorus just came into my head that sort of fitted to that tune, and then I just sort of thought, well, you know, this, you know, maybe there's legs in this, you know, if I if I sort of construct a couple of verses to go around this, just throw in a few kind of in jokes to people who know about golf and know about Tony Finau.
Very cool.
Yeah. And that's kind of how it started. So yeah, it wasn't something that I'd really planned as such. It just kind of popped in my head, and I thought, I'll just do this and see how it goes, basically.
Yeah, you stumbled into a bit of a masterpiece that definitely circulated in the golf media community, and it is a real true storyline. Tony Finau, just what an amazing player he's been the last several years on tour. And for him not to come through on the PGA Tour, it's just so shocking he hasn't won more. And I was there at Scottsdale, and you're not too shy from placing a wager on a golf tournament. I had him at 45-1 odds to win that week. So that was a very heartbreaking loss to see on that Sunday in the playoff. Yeah, it was. So that was the first one I saw, was the Tony Finau video. And then you've done a couple more since. So that's all on your YouTube page. But let's get into the Turnaround Bryson track regarding Bryson DeChambeau and his antics on the golf course. We talk about him as being a very interesting character, trying to kind of reshape the way people think about the game. And he's got a lot of quirks with how he operates. Yep. Talk about how that song came to fruition.
Well, I think that one was really. I mean, there's if you look at the players, towards the top of the PGA Tour, he's probably the most interesting character in the sense of, you know, there's a lot you can say about him. You know, whether you like him or whether you don't, he's a very different character to what we used to, I suppose, as sort of golf followers. So that one almost kind of wrote itself in a way. It just seemed. You know, a lot of people have been asking for a Patrick Reed one, and you know, although I'm not ruling it out, it's kind of hard to do a song where you're really kind of laying into someone, which I think is probably what people want with that one. Whereas I felt with Bryson, I could have a bit of fun without kind of maybe being too harsh. So it seemed like a natural one to do, where I could sort of just, you know, poke fun, but in a kind of hopefully in a relatively nice way, but just kind of, you know, get some of the quirks of his to, you know, put that to music, basically.
Yeah, it is a very comedic kind of parody style that you use for the writing and the composition of the lyrics, which is definitely one of the most ingenious parts. You're right, though. I feel like a Patrick Reed song might be like you're kind of like the henchman, and everyone just wants you to go after him in every single direction for all of his missteps on the golf course. So that's going to be a tough one to spin for you if you ever do take that on. Definitely.
Exactly.
And then the last one that I wanted to talk about too was the Anthony Kim track as well too. So Anthony Kim, for those of us who barely remember the name, was a guy who was a Ryder Cup hero and a tour winner several years back, was close to the top of the world rankings, and then just basically kind of fell off the face of the earth. And we're just wondering as golf fans if he's ever going to return. Tell me a little bit about the Anthony Kim track, and people are definitely going to the YouTube page right now if they already haven't to listen to that.
Sure. Well, I mean, he, you know, of all the players who've played on the PGA Tour, he's another one of the most interesting characters, just really in the way that he just disappeared, really. I mean, I think it was initially injury-based, but then he completely disappeared off the map. No one really saw him. I think there's a sighting of him in a pet store in Dallas, I think was the last time.
Yes, I thought I saw him at a party in Vegas, but then like after further review, I didn't. You know, it's like he's kind of like a ghost or something like that. Or like a very mythical creature, you know, if you see him, like a Sasquatch that you see once in a while in the woods, you know.
Exactly, yeah. So he's a very interesting character. And obviously, you know, when he was at the top of his game, he was, you know, one of the best in the world. And really, you thought, you know, this guy's going to go on to win many majors, you know. You know, it's talk of him being the next Tiger Woods, you know, and then suddenly he's gone, and, you know, 9 years has gone by since we last saw him. So, yeah, it's another very interesting character in a very different way to Bryson DeChambeau, I suppose. But I think a lot of people look back on him as sort of, you know, as this amazing player who could have achieved pretty much anything he wanted in the game. So it was another one that seemed like a natural one that people were going to enjoy. I chose a Take That song, which was very big over here in the UK, probably 25 years ago. I don't know whether it was so big in the US, but it just seemed like it was the right message for that particular song.
Yeah, I love the combination of what you put together with the song and the lyrics itself. That's just kind of a sampling of what you can see on the YouTube channel as well. There's lots more on there. So I guess you mentioned that you've been getting some Patrick Reed requests. Mm. Tell me about maybe the other players that you're getting requested to do songs about, and then maybe if you have anything else in the pipeline as well that you can maybe tease upcoming.
Sure, yeah. I mean, I've had all sorts of requests. I mean, some strange ones. I had one recently for Nicholas Fass.
I haven't heard that name in a while.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that was an unusual one. People have mentioned people like Victor Dubuisson, who, you know, is not one that I'd rule out. You know, he's another sort of enigmatic sort of character. So possibly there's something there. Tiger Woods obviously has been mentioned. I mean, that's a tricky one because, you know, he's obviously such an icon in the game. It's a bit like trying to cover a Beatles song or something. I mean, you're never really going to do it justice, are you? So that's another one that's come up. But yeah, all sorts. I mean, I must have 40, 50 names that have been requested at some point or other. But in terms of what I'm, you know, thinking about, I mean, I have a sort of master song penned, which, you know, I was planning to put out in the week, you know, before the Masters. Obviously now that's not going to happen. I'm trying to figure out whether I can kind of reshape it to still put it out in the same week, but just with a slightly different message. I've got a Phil Mickelson one, which again, I was planning to put out there just before the US Open.
I'd say maybe put that one out soon because he's very active on Twitter these days. I think you might catch his attention pretty fast.
Maybe so, but without giving away too much about the song, I mean, it's very much tied to the US Open specifically.
Makes sense, the one
that he hasn't won. Yeah, so I'm hoping that tournament still takes place. Who knows with what's going on at the moment. So, but yeah, those are two that are kind of on, you know, loosely on the agenda, and there's a few others which I won't mention just to keep people guessing to some degree.
Yeah, I love the emotion that you show in the videos too, as you sing these songs on the piano, which everyone will have to watch at home. I feel like you really play to like the heartbreak angle of the game of golf. You know, guys like Tony and Phil Mickelson who have had the success but just can't quite get over the hump for their biggest moment. So yeah. It'll be interesting to see who's next on your list.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I've probably got five or six songs kind of either finished or with, you know, with a bit of work to do, but some, you know, some ideas that are almost there. So yeah, there's definitely more to come.
Very cool. Again, it's Sam_golf on Twitter, Sam Harrop. Let's get in a few quicker questions for our audience from all over the world golfing. First off, you mentioned that you're across the pond in the UK. Tell us a little bit about just the golf in your area in general, where you live, and if maybe, you know, if anyone's planning a trip to the UK, is there ever a course or somewhere in your area that you would recommend they go?
Yeah, well, actually, I mean, I haven't actually played the course yet, but only probably half a mile from my house is a course called Parkstone Golf Club, which is it looks absolutely beautiful. It's unfortunately a little bit out of my price range, so I haven't been able to play it yet. I think it's ranked. Last time I looked, it was ranked something like the 70th best course in the country.
Very neat.
But it's a kind of woodland type track, which it just has a very nice, very almost slightly Augusta-esque look about it. I mean, this is someone who hasn't played the course, as I say, but I kind of, you know, I sort of look through the trees as I drive past and stuff. And
it, you have
and
to,
it,
yeah.
It has kind of, there are certainly elements to it, which remind me of Augusta. But yeah, so that's probably the best in the area that I live.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And then music-wise, you know, we'll check out obviously your music on your YouTube channel and what you do is piano-based. But tell us a little bit about the music you're listening to now. You know, currently as we sit in a lot of parts of the world, people have definitely lots more time to sit, relax at home, and enjoy more music. What are you currently listening to?
Sure. Well, because of my job, I listen to all sorts of stuff. I mean, in terms of my what I'm listening to at the moment. I really like a British artist called Muramasa, who
I've heard the name. Yeah,
yeah, he's a very interesting kind of producer guy who works with, does a lot of collaborations, and I think he's a really talented young producer. Another one is a French guy called Madian, who's like a French or DJ producer, who released an album last year, which I think is fantastic, just like amazing kind of production values, and he's a really young guy. I think he's something, you know, he's in his early 20s or something. So those are two that I'm listening to at the moment. But I really like, one of my biggest inspirations is Bruce Hornsby, going back as a sort of, you know, as a pianist, kind of singer songwriter kind of type person myself to some degree. He's always been, you know, big inspiration of mine, and I really like Ryan Adams as well. So those, you know, they're kind of long-standing ones that I listen to, you know, all the time, really.
Yeah, those are good versatile tips for all different genres there. I like that as well. And then the final question we love to ask all of our guests here, who are golfers or at least familiar with the golf course setup. You know that our favorite hole on the podcast is the 19th hole, because usually 1 through 18 don't go fantastically. So my question for you is, on the 19th hole, when it's all said and done and you head into the clubhouse, what's your choice for like a go-to, a meal, and definitely a drink as well when you finish a round?
Okay, so drink wise, I would have a pint of and this is a very kind of English thing, really, but a pint of real ale. So this is not like cask ale. That's always my choice of drink, and you know, perfect after a kind of cold round over here. Anyway, maybe less so in the kind of in the summer months, but and then in terms of a meal, I mean, this is, you know, nothing too adventurous, I'll be honest, but just something like steak and chips. Or steak and fries, I should say.
Thanks for the correction there. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I gotcha. Good steak, medium rare plus. Love it. Absolutely. Yeah. A nice way to end any day on the golf course indeed. So yeah, again, it's Sam_golf on Twitter if you want to follow him there. Looking forward to more videos from you on different players on tour, and hopefully get more recognition to that YouTube page as well. Sam, thanks for joining the Course of Life. Really do appreciate it.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And we're back. Great chat there with Sam. He's pretty good on the keys there, coming from a former pianist myself,
right?
Back when I was in grade school.
About that.
His lyrics are certainly on point.
Yeah, that first one was, "When will Tony Finau ever win again?" We hope it's soon. And then also, Mike, when we hop off here, you're going to want to listen to Turnaround Bryson, because it's a classic melody that Sam took. You'll recognize the song that he's covering immediately, and it's really, really well done. Looking forward to a lot more of these songs from Sam. He's kind of carving out an interesting little lane in these golf parodies, and hopefully people take to his talent, because he's great on the piano too.
Love
does it.
It
for a living. So
it.
Does it for a day job and a night job. Good stuff from Sam.
Love it. Let's move over to football. I got to ask you a very personal question, Alex.
Oh boy.
How does it feel to know that your team is now a shoe-in to miss the playoffs?
Oh, yikes. Jesus, we've already jumped there, huh? God, that was fast.
Yep.
Man.
They're done. It's over. Football in New England is over. Pack it up. Tom Brady is gone. He's going to retire to Florida.
Literally. literally he's retiring going where my grandfather retired, to Tampa, Florida. Not exaggeration there.
Yeah, he's gone south to Tampa, Florida. Tampa. I can go to his games a lot easier than you now.
I didn't even realize that. Holy crap. There could be a trip in order in the next year or two. I did not even think about that. Wow. Okay. Yes. Yep. Tom Brady joining the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That was so far off my radar on list of teams where he could have landed.
What did I say last week, Alex? What did I say?
It felt like it at the very last second. All of a sudden, they swooped right in. Bruce Arians came with the big offer. And also, shout out to our guys at Settle It, too. That's our app where we do our wagers. Yes. We had a wager on Brady's contract. So again, it's Settle It, Settlyt, at settleit.app.link/course of life. That's our app where we go and we settle all our friendly wagers. You can bet anything you want, money, push-ups, food, next drink, whatever you want to do. We wagered on Brady's contract, and I wasn't sure how aggressive the Bucks were going to come in. And we had over or under $30 million a year guaranteed was our bet. Tampa Bay come in just under at $25 million a year. There was a little discrepancy with the guarantee, though, right? It was very borderline.
Yeah,
right?
guaranteed was like $20 million with all the bonuses. He could get up to $30 million a year or something like that. So, yeah. But guaranteed money, $20 million. So I win the bet.
He did. It was under. The market wasn't quite there, was the bottom line, and the reason why that number wasn't as astronomical as you would have thought. Because if you look, you know, it just blows my mind, these other teams, Mike. If you look at the Tennessee Titans, they decide not to pursue Brady, and they lock up Ryan Tannehill long term. Then you look at the
like $30 million a year.
More than Brady. Then you look at the Indianapolis Colts, who give Philip Rivers a 1 year deal for $25 million, exact same price as Tom Brady. It just blows my mind these other teams wouldn't go for Brady on that note if they're willing to make that big of a leap. But nonetheless, the market wasn't quite there in the end, and Tampa Bay swooped in, got their guy. It's just going to be so weird to see him in those uniforms. Such a strange.
It's like all those other great quarterbacks playing for different teams. Peyton Manning would be the one that we can remember the most between Peyton.
Joe Montana going from the Niners to the Chiefs.
Brett Favre. Yeah,
Packers to the Vikings and the Jets. It happens a lot. You just never think about it in the moment. You know, you keep telling yourself, and I kept telling myself year after year, you know, I know he could go another place, but there's just no way. I couldn't see him anywhere else. Couldn't see it happening. And obviously, because of everything that unfolded the last few years, not only with Jimmy G, with the disagreements in the locker room and the contracts not going up and not being given his money at the right time, it caused him to walk, and he did. So Tom Brady is now a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. Still crazy to say.
Still crazy. Also, other big news out of NFL free agency, DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, a little trade with the Cardinals now. So this is an interesting combo. If you think about this one, Michael, Kyler Murray, remember Heisman Trophy winner, Oklahoma, first pick in the draft, now going to get to throw to DeAndre Hopkins, one of the best wide receivers in the game. Definitely some juice there to watch an Arizona Cardinals game this fall. There could be some excitement on that offense. So interesting move by the Cardinals. It's make things a little bit more appealing for them out west.
Yep. Nothing happening in the other sports because of coronavirus. Yeah,
pretty much. We'll let you know if it happens. But until further notice, that'll be kind of our tidbits. It'll be tidbits on sports, free agency, and everything that's going on in the world. And obviously our great guests as well. And in honor of that, we've got a second guest this week, too. Yeah,
we're going to hashtag always end with food with a food guy, the AZ food guy. Once again, more content from your trip out to Arizona. How long ago was that now? It feels like forever.
Yeah, this is officially the final interview that I'm going to run that was from that weekend specifically. But it was cool. It was Friday at evening. Got to meet him in Old Town Scottsdale. We got to meet at a really cool place called the Brat House. You can look up that menu. Ooh, they have all sorts of different sausages from all sorts of different animal meats. Really cool variety. We'll get into his account. And again, like I mentioned at the top, if you're posting pictures of food on social media, you need to stop everything you're doing, take 10 minutes of your life, and listen to this interview because it'll help you out a lot.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm going to need it for this week with all the baking I'm going to do so I know how to post the right photo. So let's take a listen to this interview with the AZ Food Guy.
All right, next up, part of the Course of Life WM Phoenix Open takeover here. We're going the food route. We've done the golf aspect, and now we got to hit up some of the cooler, more unique places in the Scottsdale area. So who better to have than the AZ food guy himself joining us here on the Course of Life. Thanks for joining us tonight. I appreciate it.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Definitely, yeah. So my first question for you is I want to know, what was the inspiration for starting the account? I mean, you've lived here almost your entire life. You let me know. So I'm curious, how long ago did you start the account, and what was like the first thought?
Actually, I started the account about 9 months ago.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
Before, I kind of had a personal Instagram where I was just kind of doing a fashion Instagram where I just bought some clothes and, I posed and I took pictures. And then it got to the idea where I was like, you know what? I take a lot of pictures of food.
Don't we all?
Yeah. Just for my own personal amusement. And I was like, you know, I should just post it and see if people like it. So I just started posting it. And then I decided that I was just going to post every day, and so I post 3 times a day every day.
Dang, that's a commitment.
Yeah, after 9 months, you know, it really got quite a following. After
definitely. Yeah, no, that's how I found you, obviously. So I'm curious, was it always like, I'm going to post every day, or like, when did you know, like, I need to post every day, like, to grow the audience the way I am? Like, what was that process like for you?
I think about a few weeks after, where I was thinking, oh, I'm not getting any followers, and then I started to research how to do Instagram marketing, and they always say be consistent, post as much as you can. I think it's from, if you know Gary Vee, I watched his videos, and he always keeps saying content.
That's what we're trying. What we're trying to do here, yeah.
And I was like,
it's hard to keep that consistency, though.
Yeah. So I was like, what better content than to post 3 times a day every day? Of course, there was, you know, it takes a lot of time. So I decided to hire like a social media manager to actually help me with the posting. I took care of taking the pictures. So
smart. Wow, you got a 2-man operation. Like it. Yeah. Let's talk about where we're at today. We're at the Brat House. They serve a wide variety of like really, really cool, unique sausages, not just like your typical one, like from all different, you know, makes and whatnot.
Yeah.
I guess kind of what, you know, this place and all the other places that you've been in town, kind of what makes, you know, this old town area seem unique for all the different foods you can get?
It's really creative from what I can see. So if you're just looking for like a variety and something that you haven't seen before, you can kind of come here and find anything really, from like sausages to like cocktails, things like that.
Yeah, no, I've seen a lot. We've had a lot of good drinks for sure. We're going to be having some beer and a gigantic pretzel as well too. That's always going to look good on the camera.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, for sure. I was curious because when we were ordering our food, you were very diligent in asking certain questions about the food. Mm-hmm. So talk to me about like the questions that you ask when you go to a place, you know, to get the pictures as great as you get them.
Oh, okay. Well, first I would check out their Instagram just to see what
kind of...
A little scouting. I definitely want food that's more, I guess, clean and not as messy. If it's messy, it has to be good messy.
Yeah.
Something colorful, something that I can probably move around if I needed to make sure the picture looks good.
When I think messy, I think like a gigantic like pasta dish or something like that with like all sorts of sauce, and like it's not the most attractive food, but usually tastes good. So yeah. I get it. Let's get to the thing that everyone wants to know is us at home, the people who don't have a following like you, we need tips to take better pictures of our food. Because we're out here posting some really crappy pictures of our food on Instagram, and I know you're doing it better than most people in the area. So give everyone just kind of the bullet point tips of what they need to understand about, you know, the angle and the type of food they get and what goes into making your photos.
Okay. Well, my main thing is about composition. So as long as your food kind of fits into your frame or your picture, I think that's like step number one.
Okay.
You know, if you're off and you just have a lot of space that's there for no reason, that's gonna ruin your picture.
Yeah, you're very like plate focused, I noticed, with a lot of your pictures. So there's not a ton of like background. You're very like dish centric.
It's very in your face. You're looking at it. You're gonna see details. If I go up for a close up, you're gonna see some very vivid details.
I like that. So a couple of questions on like specific foods. What's the like easiest food for you to take great pictures of? What do you think is just like it's just super easy to get great pictures of all the things you tried in town?
I would say anything that's like a round plate, maybe like a pasta. You know, that's pretty simple. I say the difficult thing is really if you're taking a picture, you know, like an overhead picture of pasta in a round plate.
Yeah.
The problem is there's going to be a shadow if there's any overhead lighting on the food. So I would say that's the easiest, but, you know, taking pictures is easy. It's all about the lighting, whether you can get rid of shadows or...
Oh, yeah, you came with the light, too. You're not messing around.
I did come with the light. Yeah, it's actually a selfie light. Yeah.
Good stuff, yeah. And now, on that note, so what's, like, your, you know, you mentioned that things with a round plate are easy. What's your favorite thing, whether it's in Scottsdale or outside of here specifically, that you've taken a picture of, or your favorite thing to photograph in general?
I feel like every time I take a picture of a bowl of ramen, like a fancy bowl of ramen, people seem to like that.
Interesting. So,
yeah, according to my Instagram, people really like ramen.
According to the numbers.
Yeah. They really like desserts, you know, like churros and ice cream. Sometimes churros and ice cream together.
Oh, yeah. Why not? Why not do both?
And fried food. Those are like the three things. Fried food, desserts, and ramen.
Very cool. So, again, it's AZ Food Guy. You're based in the Scottsdale area. How about, like, travels outside of the city? What are some other great places that you may have been to that are great food cities as well in addition to the Valley area?
I would say Los Angeles and San Francisco. I've been there a lot, and I explore those areas. I would have to say my favorite will have to be Tokyo, Japan.
Oh, wow.
You
okay,
know,
cool.
They have like...
How many times have you gotten to go there?
Tokyo? I would say about...
Nice. Our big pretzel is being delivered right now.
Whoa, that is huge.
Yeah, that's good. Yep.
Is that like a 2 foot by 2 foot? It's like 1.5 feet.
So our gigantic pretzel arrived. It serves 6 to 10 people. We don't have 6 people at all here, but we just decided to go for it anyway. I'm curious what this dip is as well, too.
Like, I wonder, I actually just came from another foodie that's in LA.
Yeah.
So she was doing an Arizona tour. So she went around doing all the food challenge. So I, like 2 hours ago, I just saw her eat like a burger that had 14 patties.
Wow.
And that was just down the block from here.
Oh, so she's like an iron woman. Like, those challenges are like, that's like not for the faint of heart.
She like killed that 14 patty burger. Those patties were about an inch thick.
14 patties. Ooh, man.
She beat the record, though.
I can feel the pit in my stomach right now just thinking about that.
I think the record was 51 minutes. She did it in 27.
Yikes. Okay. I'm gonna have to get in contact with her next because I gotta figure out how that's done. That sounds impossible to me.
It was amazing.
Good stuff. So we're about to get to eat right now, but last question is for you. What is your like go-to like cheat meal, like the most unhealthiest, just, you know, just disgustingly bad for you food that you love eating in the Scottsdale Phoenix Valley area?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, there's a lot of choices, I know.
There are so many. I think, like, would you consider In-N-Out Burger?
I would. Okay. Yeah. Especially if you're going like a double-double or a triple-triple or something like that.
I've had a 5x5 before.
Oh, man.
Because I feel like, you know, an In-N-Out cheeseburger is like less than $3, and you can really just pig out and eat unhealthy and not hurt your wallet at the same time.
Yeah, so they just brought In-N-Out to Austin where I am, and it's like pretty intense how many of them there are now. That chain is rapidly growing in a lot of other cities too, for sure. Awesome. So again, AZ Food Guy, I appreciate you joining the Course of Life podcast.
Thank you.
We're going to get to grubbing right now, so look forward to more content from you and keep posting those badass photos, right?
Sounds good.
We're back. That was the AZ Food Guy on hashtag always end with food. I know my picture, my Instagram food picture game is going to be elevated this week.
Yeah, it's,
so that was great.
It's next level when you actually speak to someone who has an account like that and you realize how organized their posting is and like what the tools they use to actually make sure that they're getting the same message across every post and kind of the thought that goes into what he's posting. It really kind of astonished me how much detail goes into it. You think it's just throwing pictures up and it's far more than that. It's become a business for him as well too. So really cool tips for everyone out there. Again, he's at AZ Food Guy. You can find him on Instagram, and then we're on Instagram with a weekend turn. Every weekend it's at Course of Life Alex for myself, and you're at MWRINC. You can catch us there sometime on the weekend where we'll check in, give everyone a real life live update from the quarantine era.
Indeed, we'll see how long that lasts.
Sooner rather than later.
Who knows?
Sooner rather than later. That's what I keep saying to everyone. Sooner rather than later. I say to my work emails, I say it to my friends, I say it to my family. Sooner rather than later, everyone.
But that's really it. That's all we got to talk about. Not a lot of sports this week, but we'll be back next week. We'll talk about some more stuff you can do during your quarantine. And we'll see you on the weekend on the gram for sure. For Alex and Michael, we'll see y'all next week.